set free.
In the Apostle Paul's letter to his young pastor Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." Today you'll be hearing from five pastor teachers at the Refuge Men's Conference titled The Pursuit. So get comfortable, grab some writing gear, and let's dig into this godly pursuit.
All right, so the pursuit. Next up, the preparation, right? That's key. Very key, the preparation. My wife and I just took a few days off celebrating a milestone birthday. Won't tell you which one, but it's between 50 and 70, and it was a milestone birthday. And you know, when you travel, there's stuff you think, man, I gotta have, right? So for me, I gotta have earbuds, gotta have a backpack on that plane, I gotta have earbuds for sure. I want my own, don't want the ones they give you. And you also learn you gotta have something like a windbreaker or something, because even if it's 90 degrees out, you get on that plane, and invariably you'll be at that seat where it's just dumping the cold air. It's like, I need that windbreaker. It's just, you're prepared, right? It's preparation. It's part of the pursuit. So Pastor Bill Buffington is going to be next. So let's welcome our brother, Pastor Bill Buffington.
All right. Good morning, brothers. Well, cool, man. I get to share with you guys this morning on the preparation for the pursuit. And so I ask you guys to open up to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're not going to go through all of, well, kind of we are, verses 1 through 14, but I'm just kind of spot checking them. So Hebrews chapter 12, when you get it, say, got it. All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity. Thank you for every man that's here. Thank you, Lord, that, God, you have set us in a direction. God, thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being in relationship with you. And God, I pray you would take from what we look at right now in your word, God. I pray you would prepare our hearts. That this wouldn't just be a Bible study. It wouldn't just be another message. But God, I pray you would speak into our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. God, I pray if there are areas where we need to change, where we need to consider things differently, if we need to do something different than what we're doing. God, I pray in this moment, in this study, in this time, as your word goes forth, that you would work in our hearts by your spirit, that there would be transformation. Help us not to ever just sit under your word and stay the same. May we never be the same after today, Father, and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, as I look at preparation and preparing for a journey, as the guy here was just saying, his earbuds, this, that, and the other, I'm not the best guy preparing, you know. So for many years in my marriage, when we were prepared to go places, I was almost like one of the kids. You know, my wife would, she had my bag. She would get my drawers and my socks and my, you know, this, that, and the others. And, you know, she would make my stuff for me. She would set it all aside. So I had a retreat in Murrieta, and I was going to be up there for a weekend. And I told her, you know, I said, I'll do my own stuff. You know, and there I got it. You know, and I just threw a bag together real quick, and I went. And I got to Murrieta, and I realized I had no underwear. I had no socks. I had no deodorant. I had no toothpaste, you know, so I had to go to Walmart and get all my stuff together. So with regard to the Christian race, there are things that we need to do to prepare ourselves. And so I'm going to take from what we see here in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 14. And I got 8 things. And so he was encouraging you guys to write down, get 1 of 8. You know, you can, if you get all 8, God bless you. They'll give you something at the end, you know, but just they'll give 1 of 8. You know, just there's some things that we can do to prepare. And I genuinely pray that God would speak to our hearts wherever it would apply to each one of us. So look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So number one, I put down having right examples. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and most of us know that this is in reference to the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, where we're looking at the what we call the hall of faith. And we're looking at people that they just went hard for the Lord. They endured difficulty. There were people that were sawn in two. There were people that gave up riches in order to pursue the call of God upon their life. And so as we look at them, those are our examples. And so one thing I would ask you, especially as men, what is it you look up to? Who are the examples that you have set in your life as men that are called to pursue the call of God in our lives, as men that are called to go in a certain direction? Like who are you looking to? Who are the examples that you've set? He says here that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. I think it's important that we have good examples. We have a young adults group on Friday nights. And last night we were looking at, we're talking about revival the last 2 weeks. And so last night we watched a portion of a video Chuck Smith from about Chuck Smith. It's called Venture of Faith. And it kind of chronicles a lot of what the Lord was doing through his life at that time. And one of the things that we saw is that Chuck was coming out of one denomination where he just felt like he wasn't really jiving. But in Bible college, he found some guys that really spoke to him. And it was Guy Duffield and Clark Van Wyck. And these were men that were, these are the guys that taught him expository teaching. These men became to him the example of what it would characterize his entire ministry. You know, but these are guys that he met while in Bible college. And so it's important. For men that, you know, that was a man. Chuck was a man with a call of God upon his life. He was headed in a certain direction. He needed some good examples. And so I think we need examples. But because we're men, we also need to seek to be that example to somebody as well. Amen. Many of us have children. Tommy said, cut. He said, don't let some other dude be up there speaking into your wife. I mean, like, I'm gonna be her pastor. Y'all need to, every man here. If you don't get nothing else today, you need to be committed to go home and be your wife's pastor. Amen. So when the pastor speaks, it's like, my husband already said that. So anyway, so we want to have right examples. Number two, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Number two, get rid of anything that hinders you. It says, laying aside the weight and the sin. Weight is going to be something that's not necessarily sin, but it's slowing you down in your race. Football season just started, right? All right, all right, all right. So I'm speaking to somebody already. So for some of us, right, that's an issue. You know, for some of us, that's going to be a weight. That's going to be something that eats up so many hours of your time that should be spent otherwise. Some of you have kids you need to be pouring into. Some of you need to be getting poured into yourselves. You need to be at church. You need to be at whatever's going on Monday nights or whatever. And so I'm not saying that, for, you know, I'm not, I play football. I like football. I watch football. I watch some other stuff too. But we need to have that in check. The weights are things that they're not sin. And I think that's what messes up Christians. We know what sin is. We know that that's wrong. Can't do that. But there's some things that are like, there's nothing wrong with that. But is it slowing you down? If you look at an endurance runner, they wear as little as possible, right? They're like bathing suits just about, you know, they wear the lightest clothing, as little as possible, shoes with no socks. There's nothing extra on an endurance runner. Even if you compared an endurance, a marathon runner with a sprinter, right? When you look at a sprinter, they're pretty yoked up. They're muscular. They got big old quads. They look like they roided out, you know, because they just got to go shot and they got to get there real quick. You look at a marathon runner and it's like, man, you know, you could take them out of the marathon and put them on a poster for, you know, hungry kids. You know, like there's nothing left to them, you know. They're prepared to go a long, 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 long way. They can't take anything extra. No clothes, no weight. And so everybody here, right? Is there weight in your life? Is there things that not sin? But it's holding me back. There was a time when God was really calling me to focus on my study, and God was calling me. I was going to go to Bible college. And then that was an era where I had to cut out some stuff I liked a lot. I cut out Lakers games. I'm a Lakers fan to the core from Inglewood. So take that. Right. Amen. Amen. Don't be stumbled. Don't be stumbled. All right. But it was that in football where God was saying if those hours could be committed to study, I could really do something with your life. And that was a commitment for some years that had to be, I had to shelf that because there was something else God wanted to do. For some of us here, Maybe there's some stuff you like too much. It's not sinful, but you like it too much. Keeps you out of fellowship, keeps you away from the wife and kids, keeps you away from the more important things. And I think something that happens pretty easily in our world right now is there's a lot of opportunity to be invested time-wise and to get really good at stuff that don't matter. For your kids, it's going to be video games and social media, and just you can master stuff that don't matter and be very lightweight on that which does. I was speaking to a group of guys, and I was trying to challenge them about some scriptural things. And, you know, I wasn't really getting much push, you know, feedback. A lot of guys couldn't really join the conversation. And somebody brought up sports. And, I mean, there are guys there that they don't know no Bible. But these guys are, I mean, they're professionals. They know every team. They know who the good picks are, who's coming, who's being traded, who should stay, who should go. They know how much people are getting paid. And I'm like, do you get paid to know this? Because you know a whole lot about this that don't matter and very little about that which does. May that not be true about us, brothers. Amen. Lay aside anything that hinders. Now, obviously, lay aside the sin. And I just got to touch on that for us, right? If there are men here right now and there's sin that's ensnaring you, that's besetting you, you want to deal with it, right? Here are your options with sin. You can hide it. And when you hide your sin, you just get better at sinning. You get more engulfed and more entrapped in your sin. That's what some guys do because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to come into the light. And so they hide their sin. They cover it up. When you cover up your sin, you leave it in the dark where Satan is the prince and power of darkness. And you leave your sin in a place where it's going to flourish. And it's going to encapsulate your life more and more and more. You'll never be the man God wants you to be. Bound in sin. Amen. Jesus didn't die on the cross and raise from the grave so that we could go to heaven bound in sin. He wants to deliver you from, well, he delivers from the penalty and power of sin, but he wants to deliver you from the present power that sin has over your life. So if you're here today and that's an issue, and I'll just say real quick, I got to go fast, but when I first got saved, there were sins that God dealt with immediately. Alcohol, bam. Anger, bam. Greed for money, bam. I was a brand new guy. But you know what was still there? Lust and porn and sexual sin and secret sin, stuff that nobody else could see. And I did just great at church because you couldn't see that stuff. It was covered up. It was in the dark. And it was my first men's advance I ever went to where the Lord just pierced my heart and had made me confess. And I'd never been freer in my life than I got up and I confessed to about 300 men what I was really doing. And I went home and confessed to my wife what I was really battling with. And you know what happened when I brought that dark thing to the light? I started to really get help and really get a victory, and God pushed me beyond it. And so if you're here today, if there's sexual sin, if there's porn, if there's stuff that's there that's, you know, it's hindering, you can't be all that God wants you to be. You're hindered in your conscience. You're hindered in your heart. You're hindered in life and service. He says, lay aside the weight and the sin. What you can do today is confess it and repent of it. And the blood of Jesus is enough to forgive you and cleanse you. It's enough, right? You don't have to continue to be bound. It's a choice. Jesus has done everything that we need to be absolutely free, free of the penalty, but also free of the power. Jesus did it. Be free today, brothers. Don't leave this place. Amen. Don't leave this place bound if you came bound. And so we lay aside the weight and the sin. And then it says, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Number three, put down, prepare for the long haul. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. Sometimes, you know, and you have to mentally prepare that this is the rest of my life. This is an endurance race. My wife sometimes will trick me. She'll say, babe, run real quick with me to, you know, this one store. They're more wise playing this trick out there. So I'll be like, all right, you know, I'll go with you to this one store. And then we go to that one store. Well, then I also need to stop by Staples. And then real quick, can we just, and next thing you know, it's like, I wasn't prepared for that, right? I would have charged my phone. I would have made sure I had something to do that I care about. I wasn't prepared for. So mentally, when I'm not prepared, what happens? I get annoyed. I'm like, nah, I didn't prepare to be at five stores. I went to one little store real quick. Remember? That's what you said. So spiritually speaking, if you don't prepare for an endurance, if you don't realize that, hey, this is the rest of my life. I'm not trying Jesus on. I'm not trying this thing out. I'm giving the rest of my life to this thing. For the rest of my life, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to love unlovely people. I want to be the man God wants me to be. I'm in this for the long. If you don't mentally prepare for an endurance run, you're going to run out of gas. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get bitter. You're going to say, I didn't sign up for this. You're going to sound like that. And you'll sound just like that when you say it. I didn't sign up for this. You know, I hate to hear Christians get whiny and just, especially men, when it's like, hey, this is what it is, fellas. If you go read your gospel, Jesus didn't make it sound lightweight. He said, hey, those, if you want to follow me, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I have nowhere to lay my head. Let's go. You want to come? That's what he said. He said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. Come on. You know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. They hate me. They're going to hate you. People are not going to like you. So if you need to be liked by everybody, this ain't for you. You have to die to all that. And for the rest of your life, God, this is what you call me to do. My wife's not doing what I want her to do. So I'm get over that. He told you to die to yourself. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us so much he died for us. Not when we were good, when we were our worst. Amen. And so when your wife's not doing what you want, not giving you what you want, what are you supposed to do? Love her. Love her. That is, you want to be a man? You want to do a manly thing? Love an unlovely wife. That's your opportunity to be like Jesus is whenever you get opportunity to love someone that's being unlovely, that's your opportunity to be like Jesus. And so not that your wives are unlovely, but, you know, everybody has their day. So prepare for that. Love them. Amen. All right. So again, I guess if we lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin, mentally prepare that this is a long distance run, not a sprint. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, and I believe this is the how. Looking unto Jesus, it says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I put down as number 4, with my eyes on Jesus, the ultimate example. He says, looking unto Jesus. When it gets difficult, when you're discouraged, we've already looked at the cloud of witnesses that went before us, and we looked at them as an example. But it says now, looking unto Jesus. Jesus is he's my ultimate example in everything. And when I feel like, oh, it's getting difficult, look unto Jesus. Look at what he went through for you. Right? Sometimes I think that's why he tells us, I want you to take communion on a regular. I need to regularly be reminded that he died for me. That is, when you take communion, he says, take this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This drink, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. God said, I want you to remember what I did for you. Remember what I endured for you so that you can go free, so you can be forgiven, so you can be saved. And so when it does get difficult, when you're running and you're in your race, it gets just, God said, look unto Jesus. Right. And you'll realize that you ain't been through that much. In my journey, right, God's called me. I've pastored now for since 2000, I've been pastoring. I did youth pastoring for about 10 years at Calvary Chapel Downey. Then I stepped out to plant a church, and it's been a journey. My family's been on a journey. I've been on a journey. It's been wonderful and awful at the same time. Obviously more wonderful than awful. When I say awful, there's times of warfare. There's times of challenge. There's times of difficulty, but it's the journey that God put me on. One thing I know is this. There's never been a moment. There's never been a time. It'll never be the right thing to do to quit on what God has called us to do. It will get difficult sometimes. There'll be discouraging things that happen sometimes, but it's still just the journey that we're on. There was, you know, about three years ago, God told me to, you know, we had got the church going to Inglewood. God said, now, you know, move back to Inglewood. So we got rid of the house in Downey and we got ready to move. And it looked like everything was going perfect. We were going to just go wham right in. And we had a house that we were going to buy and, you know, and everything was kind of coming together. And then the week, so we're in a hotel for a week. We're supposed to be in a hotel for 1 week. And then the house that we're getting, they called and we thought we were going to get to go early. And they said someone else came and bought it cash. So you got to start all over again. That happened. And so we're like, oh, man. And so we had to start over again. And we're in a hotel that year. It was Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. 5 people in a 2-bed little hotel eating up all our savings while we're there. That lasted for a little over 3 months. And that was, now I'm there and I'm like, God, I did what you told me to do. What is this all about? Like, why? You know, and I can't quit. I'm still pastoring the church. We're still running forward, still doing what God called us to do. There were some things that God did in those 3 months in my family that I don't know that I could have manufactured it. He did this. He set us up. He put us in that situation. God was working things out that they're beyond me. And so if you get discouraged in the journey, the goal or the, I guess the way you overcome that discouragement is you look unto Jesus. Look at for the joy set before him. Jesus was never focused on the right now, because the right now was always jacked up for Jesus, right? He left heaven where he was worshiped and glorified 24/7. He came to earth. He had a mama tell him what to do. This is God. His mama said, Jesus, clean up the room, you know, or whatever he had to do. He submitted to that. He had people on the earth that he created asking him stupid questions, trying to trip him up. But he endured that. He went through that. He had people make false accusations, and he took it. And he let them hang him on a cross. I would have been a bad Jesus. There have been some dead, that have been dead people all around me. They'd be like, what happened to that guy? He just fried on spot, you know, like, oops, sorry, Father, you know, oops, you know. There have been dead folks all around, but he endured all that and went all the way to the cross so you and me could be here today free. Guilty people going free because of what he did. Amen. 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 May we never forget that. And when you get discouraged about some lifestyle, lifetime junk, then get your eyes up a little higher and put them on Jesus and remember that what he did. He didn't do it for the right now. He did it for what it would do later. He endured that. And it said for the joy set before him, the joy that this many men and people all around the world for forever have the opportunity to be forgiven and saved and set free. And so whatever you're going through, I guarantee you it's not what he went through. Amen. All right, moving on now. In verses 3 and 4, we deal with, we'll look at 3 and 4. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. The writer of Hebrews is getting in your chest. He says, look, consider him. That word consider means to think over, to contemplate, to ponder. Think about what Jesus went through. And then he comes right at you and me and says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. Right? We're battling with sin. We're battling with our flesh. Y'all bleeding over it yet? Are you battling it to death yet? He says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Consider what he did. Jesus strived against sin all the way to death. There was bloodshed. And it wasn't even his sin. It was ours that he was shedding his blood for. Moving on. So look at verses 5 through 11. I'm going to do this one real quick. So number 5, if you're writing numbers down, just put down the word consider. Right? We looked unto Jesus, but now consider. Consider what he endured, what he went through. In verses 5 through 11, this is number 6 from my list. It says, allow his discipline to train us. God does spank his kids. I know this it's unpopular today. People got naughty carpets and everything else. But I say this, you know, if God can spank his kids, I'm going to spank mine. He's my example, ain't he? So 5 through 11, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so I got to hit this one real quick. Again, allow his discipline to train us. You know, first of all, this, if you're a Christian and you've disobeyed God, you know, at some point, God will chasten, God will discipline. It says if you're without chastening, if you can go on and sin and God doesn't intervene ever, then you're not saved. You have a bigger problem than getting spanked. If you can go on and sin and there's no consequence, I don't feel convicted. God has not come after me. There's no intervention in my life. I'm more afraid for you than the person that God smacks down. Now, What I've seen over the years, I've been chastened by the Lord. I've been disobedient at times in my walk with God, and I've had God spank me. And I've had times where God's discipline, when it hits me, in the moment it does, I know exactly why that happened. It's like, boom, I know what I did. I know that this is the Lord saying, now you're not going to go that way. You're not going to continue to behave like this. And God is reaching out and saying, I'm chastening you. God disciplines those that he loves. Here's the thing. Some people respond poorly to discipline. Here go three responses to discipline. Some people, when they get disciplined, they get angry. Maybe now we don't get to determine the discipline of God when he sends it, right? You get to decide, you get to sin, but you don't get to pick the price tag, right? Nobody knows what sin's going to cost you. And I think if we knew what it would cost, we wouldn't do it. I forgot who it is said. They said that sin will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. And it was one more, and I can't remember it. Anybody know it? Take you further than you want to go. Yes, cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. And so once you commit to sin, you don't know how long it's going to take you. You don't know how much it's going to cost you. You don't know. You just, once you commit to it, it's going to do what it does in your life. And so same thing with discipline. You don't know the discipline. You don't know what it's going to bring. If David had known that Bathsheba and killing her husband was going to cost him what it cost him, I think he wouldn't have did it. We found out after the fact. He got the price tag on that sin after he did it. And so some people get angry at the chastening of the Lord. But when you get angry at God, you're angry at your only help. So that's a bad response. Some people, they try to hide from God and run from God when they're being disciplined, when they're being chastened. They don't want to deal with it. I'm just not going to go to church. I'm just not going to go be around the things of God anymore. That's another wrong response. The right response to discipline is brokenness and repentance. God, I'm, you know, you recognize that you messed up, and let there be brokenness and let there be a genuineness to repentance that you would submit to the Lord. God does chasten those who he loves. He says, you want to let it have its perfect work. You want to let it, those who are trained by it it'll yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, but only to those that have been trained by it. And just like a runner has to train for what they're going through, God says, I train you through discipline. And those who respond right to discipline, there's a training, there's a benefit that comes. And so if you've been under the chastening or the disciplined hand of the Lord, make sure you respond properly. Let there be brokenness and repentance. And so moving on, look at verse 12 and 13. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And so number seven, I put down, strengthen what's weak. And I'll just say real quick, you got hands. The hands are to do the work. They need to be strengthened. You got knees. Your knees point in the direction that you're going to walk. And you got your feet that are going to move you forward. And so he said, look, strengthen the hands and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Strengthen that which is weakened. And so as we prepare for this journey, if there are areas of weakness, you need to prepare. Strengthen what's weak. Every man here needs to know his weakness so that you can prepare in those areas. I have different weaknesses than maybe some of you guys. And we got to prepare for that. One of the things that the Lord showed me when I first start, you know, I realized I was called to ministry. I realized I grown up with a certain kind of temperament. And in my first church, I had a fight in the church with one of my friends, his brother. This is a bad situation. His brother came to church, but his brother's not saved. But me and my buddy are saved, and we mess around, play fight and wrestle. And then his brother played fight and wrestle, but then he got mad. So I remember I'm in the church office, and I'm choking a guy, and I'm thinking, like, how did I end up here? What did I do? What I did, Lord, you know? And I felt bad. I'm like, I don't know how I got here, and I had to start, you know, dealing with that. And the Lord showed me something in my, that there's flesh, there's pride, there's some other things. But one thing he showed me is that I can't argue with men. If a guy gets loud with me and if I get him yell at you, I could sock you. That's my flesh. If I'm yelling, I'm in the flesh. I'm at a 10. Don't touch me. Don't be in my range if we're yelling, you know. So I've had to learn that if I'm going to serve God, I'm called to be a pastor. Pastor can't be a striker. God said, then you have to shut up. And I've had to do that. You know, somebody gets loud, God says, you got to bow out. You can't talk back. You can't have a verbal altercation with men, because that's a weakness for your flesh. And so that's a commitment that was made years ago. I just don't do verbal altercations. I never had that. Women can yell all day. It's a woman. What am I going to do? You know, I just take it like it's like your mom or something, you know. But it's a man. It's my flesh is like, man, say that. So keep saying that. Let me get a little closer. Say that one more again, you know. So, you know, that's something where, you know, that's me. That's a weakness. Something I have to guard so that I can be, so I can run my race. So I can do what God's called me to do. I can't have an argument with you. So now y'all know, y'all can yell at me and get away with it because I got to take that L, right? So you need to know your weaknesses so that you can be strengthened. You can be accountable. The Lord can show you how to overcome. Know where you're weak and strengthen yourself in those areas. Amen. Last thing, I got 2 minutes. Number eight, last one, verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And here's the thing. Last thing, it says, get your relationships right. Nothing will zap your strength, hinder your forward progress like bitterness and bad relationships. As a Christian, if you're a Christian and you got bitterness towards other people, you got hatred and animosity and all that yucky junk in your heart, nothing will hinder your forward progress. Nothing will quench the flow of the Holy Spirit through your life than allowing bitterness and anger and malice and those things that be going on between you and other people. And so how do you overcome that? Just pursue peace with all people. Forgive people that wrong you. Pursue peace. Have as much peace as you can have. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, that there wouldn't be anything like that hindering you, because you got something to do and you got somewhere to go. And that's a hindrance to what God wants to do in your life. Amen. And so let me pray for us. I got 20 seconds and I just want to pray for this. If you are here and there's sin that needs to be repented of, I'm going to just pray. But I'm going to encourage you before you leave here today that you come out of darkness into the light. You find you someone to hear, a brother, a pastor, a leader, confess and get prayer. Let today be the day where you step out of darkness into the light, if that's your issue. If there are any of these other areas that God would strengthen you, I'm going to pray that God would help us all. And so, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I thank you for just the opportunity to share with my brothers. God, I pray you'd help us in all these things. God, if there are any guys here that are struggling with sins or weights, Lord, I pray that you would help them to lay those things aside. Help them to come into the light, God, that they wouldn't be hindered by these things. If we're hindered in our relationships, God, if we have areas of weakness that we need to deal with, God, I pray that you would strengthen the brothers, fill us with your spirit, send us in your power, God. Help us to be prepared for all that you want to do in us and through us for your glory. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Bill.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free.
You've just heard a recording from Refuge Huntington Beach. For more information about our service times, ministries, and events, please access us on refugefamily.com, our mobile app, Refuge HB, Facebook, Twitter, or call the church office at 714-891-9495. Grace and peace in Jesus as you seek Him today.